Hello, Dick. How are you?
Doing well, boys. How are you doing over there?
Mate, we're doing pretty well, thanks. Now, we had some fun last week with the prospect of Mike Tyson coming to Australia to fight one of our cross-code athletes, or one of our athletes who played in rugby league and AFL, etc. Now, our producer, Nick, showed me a photo of you and Barry Hall, one of the prospective opponents of Mike Tyson, which we think is probably a million to one to go ahead. But you met good old Bad Baz.
Very funny. I was watching Tyson's video, and then I was looking it through some stories about Paul Gallen and Barry Hall potentially being guys that could face Mike Tyson over there. And I saw the picture of Barry Hall, and I read the name Barry Hall, and I was like, I think I've met him before. And so I went back through my Google photos back to 2005, and sure enough, there's a picture of me probably about 15 pounds heavier than I am right now, and about 10 shades lighter in hair color than I was. And yeah, so I met Barry Hall after a Sydney Swans game at Telstra. That was fun. So Barry's got an opportunity. Paul Gallen's got an opportunity. Although I guess Paul was kind of shooting it down on TV the other day, right?
Yeah, well, I think he just thinks it's unrealistic.
for good reason.
Well, we'd love to see Mike Tyson come back. I mean, especially in a time where we're so hungry for sports, if there was ever a time for a Mike Tyson comeback that could make the front pages, it would certainly be during this pandemic. And the only American name that I've seen thrown up there is Evander Holyfield, and that certainly brings us back to some crazier times in Las Vegas with ear biting and everything like that. And really, honestly, guys, the world of boxing has really never been the same since Mike Tyson. Boxing was big all through me growing up. I mean, I was at the tail end of Muhammad Ali and George Foreman and Larry Holmes when I was very, very young. And then getting into my teens and 20s, that's when Holyfield and Tyson, took over, and Bruce Seldon. And it was just a great sport, guys. And unfortunately, it's kind of died off. It's been replaced by other things like MMA and the WWE, which is, obviously not the same as true fighting. But, those things have just taken off in popularity in the States, much more so than boxing has with the kind of millennial generation.
Yeah, you're right there, Dick. And I can remember, when boxing was at its peak, you had your heroes, you had your villains, and you had your characters. And they seem to be now with all these other sort of different forms of martial arts. But anyway, we'll see what boxing can deliver over the next couple of years. But what about the NBA season? Are you optimistic or getting more pessimistic that it will not go ahead?
Well, Adam Silver had a conversation with the players' union and all the owners, and certainly it's a hope. I don't think the plans are in place as far ahead as maybe baseball is. Baseball at least has a proposal that they're taking to the players. The owners have a proposal set. They're taking it to the players. The problem with the players agreeing to this particular proposal is the 50-50 revenue split. I think that is something the players are really going to balk at because they're obviously going into what they would deem, or at least they would argue, to be a hazardous situation away from their family potentially if they had to play in stadiums that are not their home stadiums. I know baseball wants to have their games in their home stadiums. We haven't seen any concrete plans from basketball yet, and maybe basketball is just kind of going through it a different way. I mean, basketball potentially, the way Adam Silver works is he could potentially have conversations and get an agreement done away from the media. So nobody knows what's going on. Then all of a sudden the NBA puts this big announcement out that says, here's what we're going to do. It's been agreed upon, and boom. Whereas baseball kind of step by step is going through it in the media. So we kind of see exactly where baseball is right now. And baseball, the positives are they have a plan that the owners have put out there. The negatives are that obviously the players have to agree upon that. And I think there's going to be a lot of negotiations going back and forth over the next month or so before they eventually reach a deal.
Just seeing over in the States at the moment and what's going on, Dick, I can't help but feel that state governments will be looking for revenue. Therefore, is there a chance there will be an explosion in more states opening up their legislation to allow gambling?
As far as opening up the fans, or what do you mean, open up casinos?
No, more states allowing gambling on sports in the states as a result of the coronavirus, just due to the fact that it helps raise revenue for state governments.
I see. Yeah, you know, that's already happening anyway, and with breakneck speed, guys. It is amazing how fast this gambling, wave has taken over the United States. I mean, we are going to have legalized gambling in all 50 states by the end of this decade. I don't think there's any question about that. We're already getting legalized gambling in Washington State, where I live, which is absolutely amazing because I thought we would be one of the last states to get it done. So right now, we will be able to gamble beginning this fall on NFL games, but it has to be done in tribal casinos. I don't know if the pandemic is going to, you know, push that forward in terms of revenue, because the states haven't really figured out, a lot of states haven't figured out how to really make it a revenue maker. There's been a couple of states that have. New Jersey has done very, very well over on the East Coast, making a revenue maker. Washington State, interestingly enough, left it up to the tribal casinos to raise all the revenue, but also take all the liability as well. And so Washington State basically just said, okay, you can go ahead and do it. We're not going to take anything, but we're not responsible for any losses either. So I think that was a crazy move, honestly, by Washington State, because I think you're right. The state should be taking a cut of this thing.
Dick, I'm interested to know what the reputation and perception is of Michael Jordan now. Obviously, The Last Dance has been huge and a lot of talk about it back here in Australia. Has the perception around Michael Jordan changed?
I just think it's been more crystallized, guys. We always knew that he was an amazing competitor. However, this documentary has amplified exactly how great a competitor he was and how fierce a competitor he was. We all knew he was great. I think this documentary amplifies how great he truly was. So, you know, whether you want to look at it positively or negatively, everything is being amplified once we now know the true story. But we're also seeing my favorite part of it all is seeing Michael Jordan in his element, in his living room, sitting there on his sofa, giving us his honest reaction to all these things that are going on. That is just something we haven't seen from Michael Jordan. He has not been somebody that has been in the media at all since he retired. I remember when I was on with you a couple months ago when I mentioned his speech at Kobe Bryant's funeral. I was like, man, that's the last time I've heard Michael Jordan talk since his controversial Hall of Fame speech. So it has been a long time since we've seen Michael Jordan, and they really couldn't have picked a more perfect time to release this documentary.
Yeah, totally agree. It's been so refreshing to watch Jordan just let his guard down, indeed. Now, the NFL season fixture was released, and no surprise to see Tom Brady and the Bucs, his new team, prominent in primetime fixtures.
Yes, before five games for Tom Brady. I think he may have the max, which is five at this point. And, you know, my only question with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is will they be able to stop anybody? I see their over-under win total at 9.5. That's probably about right, because Tom Brady and that offense with those ridiculously good wide receivers should be able to, score in the high 20s every game. The problem is they're probably going to give up in the high 20s every game as well. So I don't see – I'd be very surprised if the Buccaneers were an 11-12 win, really elite team, but I definitely do think they're going to be competing for that wild card spot in the NFC. Now, you remember, there's another wild card spot in both conferences now, so there's an extra slot for a team that finishes 9-7. Most in the past, teams that finish 9-7 usually do not make the playoffs. Well, now with that extra playoff spot, a 9-7 team probably will make the playoffs. So I think Tampa Bay kind of fights for that spot. And just looking at these over-unders, though, the win totals that just came out this last week, I kind of look at Indianapolis with Phillip Rivers now at the quarterback and a good defense, only at 9 on the over-under. I like the over on that. And I like the Seahawks, guys. The Seattle Seahawks under Russell Wilson have never won less than 9 games, and they're a 9 in the over-under win total. This is not a bad Seahawks team at all. In fact, a 9 would be a tremendous disappointment. So if Vegas is telling you the over-under is 9, and I'm telling you that would be a massive, massive disappointment, you know I'm taking the over
on the Seahawks. I feel like the only way they could possibly finish with under 9 wins is if Russell Wilson got hurt for a long period of time.
Yeah, that sounds like a bet indeed. Great to talk to you as always, Dick.
See you, boys. We'll talk to you later.